The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents...
Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. How glorious it is, and also how painful, to be an exception, sang the poet. Yes, to be an exception, to be different, unique, to stand alone, to lose the anonymity of the crowd, and also the comfort and the safety.
But he's gone.
So you say.
You don't believe me. Someone killed him or kidnapped him.
Or he may have just decided to walk out on you.
He would never do that.
Why not?
Because I love him.
All right, you love him. Does he love you?
Our mystery drama, The Fourth Reason, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars John Lithgow and Terry Keane. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Tuesday night on CBS Television, take a magical trip to the land of Narnia on The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
It's always winter here and never Christmas.
Four children tumble into Narnia by accident, but getting out may be impossible. There's a wicked queen.
That human creature is mine.
There's danger at every turn. Don't miss The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Tuesday night at 8, 7 Central on CBS Television.
I run a supermarket, and people always ask my advice.
Nick, what should I buy for this? What should I buy for that?
Well, I can't steer them wrong, or they won't come back. So when someone asks,
well, what should I buy to clean my bathroom?
I always say, fantastic. They say,
fantastic is my kitchen cleaner.
Look, I tell them, as fast and easy as fantastic cleans your kitchen, it'll clean your bath. Well, they must like it. They keep coming back for more. Fantastic. What it does for your kitchen, it'll do for your bath.
Excuse me, I own that shoe store across the street.
Uh-huh.
Want to buy it?
Well...
I'll be honest. I have great shoes, but no customers, so I'm ready to sell the whole thing at any price, you name it.
$12.
Sold.
Ooh.
Well, now that you own a shoe store, what'll you do with it?
Well, advertise.
Well, I tried. A lot of newspaper ads, then TV and magazine.
I'll probably go radio.
Radio?
Yeah, according to the latest studies, everyday radio reaches more people than newspaper, TV, or magazines.
How did you...
What's more, radio targets customers. I'll match up the right stations for my dressier lines and different stations for young casual. Since radio costs a lot less than newspapers or TV, I'll get good efficiency.
Listen, I'd like to buy my store back from you.
Well,
at a fair profit.
Okay.
How much do you want?
$156,000.
That's a pretty fair profit.
Take it or leave it.
I'll take it.
What you don't know about radio could cost you a lot. What you can learn is free for the asking. Call this radio station or the Radio Advertising Bureau. They brought you this message. Radio. It's red hot.
They say every nation has the government it deserves. If that's true, we can expand the basic proposition and say that every man has the wife he deserves, and every woman, the husband. While we're thinking about that, we can concentrate on Mrs. Thomas Thatcher, Irene. Right now, she's at the airport. She's standing at Gate 17, where Intercontinental's Flight 4 from Paris is disembarking its passengers. She waits and waits. Is it possible? Has he missed the plane?
No, he would have called me. Sir, are there any more passengers on the Paris flight?
That's all, ma'am. No, there's no Mr. Thacker on the list.
Not Thacker. Thatcher. Thomas Thatcher.
Well, it doesn't matter.
What do you mean it doesn't matter?
I was going to say, it doesn't matter how you spell it because there isn't anyone on the sheet whose name begins with T.
That's impossible.
You think so? Out of 397 passengers.
But I know for a fact my husband is supposed to be on that plane.
Ma'am, according to this list, there's no Thomas Thatcher.
There has to be.
There's no passenger by that name. Nor was there any reservation made for him. I'm sorry.
Hello? Hotel Pershing Lafayette?
Please, listen. This is a transatlantic call.
Yes?
Don't put me on hold or anything. I must speak to Mr. Thomas Thatcher.
Huh?
Thatcher. Thomas Thatcher.
Thatcher. Yes?
Has he checked out yet?
Who?
Mr. Thatcher. Mr. Thomas Thatcher.
Moment, s'il vous plaît.
Will you please hurry? I'm calling from America.
Mr. Thatcher. No, he has not checked in.
No, I want to know if he's still there.
Oh. No, we have had no person named Mr. Thomas Thatcher.
But he was a guest there until today.
Madame, I am so sorry. There has been no such person as Mr. Thomas Thatcher in the hotel.
Yes, ma'am?
Mr. Purvis, is that your name?
George Purvis.
I was told to come here to my congressman's office. That is, the police suggested that I see you.
The police?
The desk sergeant at the precinct.
Oh, won't you sit down,
Mrs. Thatcher, Irene Thatcher. Mrs. Thomas Thatcher.
Yes, Mrs. Thatcher.
I really don't know what to do.
About what, Mrs. Thatcher?
It's my husband. Last week he left for Paris on a business trip. He told me he would be staying at the Lafayette Pershing Hotel and that he would be coming home on Thursday, the 19th, yesterday. He wasn't on the plane.
He missed it?
No, he hadn't even booked the flight. I mean, that is, they say he hadn't.
Well, perhaps there was some last-minute change of plans.
Well, he would have called me.
Well, it's difficult sometimes to make overseas calls.
Well, I didn't have any problem.
Then you called him in Paris?
He wasn't at the hotel.
Had he checked out?
They told me he had never checked in. They didn't know who he was. They had never heard of him.
Oh.
I went to the police, and this desk sergeant said there was nothing that could be done about it here.
Well, that's true.
That it was a matter for the Paris police. He said I would have to take it up with the State Department. He was very nice because he saw the way I felt. I mean, how do you go about taking up things with the State Department if you're an ordinary citizen?
Well, it isn't easy, even if you're an extraordinary citizen.
So he said to see you. Well, not you specifically, but to call at the local office of my congressman. I mean, that's the way to, I guess, get some action.
Yes, Mrs. Thatcher, the congressman is always available to help his constituents.
Well, I'm not a registered member of the party. I didn't even vote last year.
Oh, that doesn't matter. The congressman will do everything in his power to bring this matter to the attention of the proper authorities.
Oh, thank you. I don't know what else to do.
Mrs. Thatcher, you're not to worry. Just leave everything to the congressman.
Oh, it's Mr. Purvis?
Yes, Mrs. Thatcher.
Please, come in. I hope you have news for me.
I do.
It isn't very good, is it?
I'm afraid not.
Oh?
The congressman has friends in the State Department, and they had the embassy in Paris work very closely with the local police.
Yes?
No one has seen a man who answers your husband's description. They circulated his photograph. They've made inquiries.
Well, surely they must have found some trace. How could he just disappear?
I don't know.
Well, there must be something someone can do.
The congressman has done everything in his power.
But what am I going to do?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Thatcher.
Oh, I know. I should have done it then and there. Operator, what's the number of Intercontinental Airlines?
Mrs. Thatcher, just think for a minute.
Yes. Thank you.
Mrs. Thatcher, before you call Intercontinental, ask yourself, what is there you can really do?
I can go to Paris.
But what will you accomplish?
I will go to the police.
The embassy has already done that.
I'll do something.
Mrs. Thatcher, do you speak French?
No.
Do you know anyone? Do you have any friends there?
No.
You'll be a woman, all alone in a foreign country. The only place you can go to for help is the embassy, and they've done all they can.
I have to go.
But to whom could you turn?
I'll find private detectives.
Well, I'm sure they'll find you. They'll take your money, and they'll go through the motions for as long as you can afford them.
Then what do you suggest?
Look, I know it's difficult, Mrs. Thatcher, but you just have to wait.
Wait? For what?
I don't know. Maybe something will turn up.
What more do I have to know about this appropriations bill, Purvis?
Well, I think that's about it, Congressman.
Well, I better be getting back to Washington.
Yes, sir.
I got a note from a fellow named Boggs in the State Department. Who is he anyhow?
Frederick Hamilton Boggs.
Sounds like it.
Well, he's about a 10th assistant undersecretary.
The thing said, we were glad to be of assistance to you in this matter. Please don't hesitate to avail yourself of our services again or something. What kind of assistance did he give us?
Mrs. Irene Thatcher. Her husband was due home from Paris. He didn't get off the plane. Turns out he didn't get on the plane.
Well?
Yeah, he never checked into the hotel he said he'd be at. Paris police can find no trace of him.
What else?
Nothing, Congressman. That's the whole story.
Is it?
Why? Do you think it isn't?
Well, the boys over at State, do you think they really had the embassy look into it? Or was it just a routine phone call to the Paris police?
Oh, what else is there to be done?
Well, who is this Thatcher?
I don't know.
Well, find out.
Any reason, Congressman?
You never know what you can pick up, Purvis.
Mr. Purvis, you have news for me?
No, I'm afraid not.
Oh.
But we're interested in doing all we can. We don't know anything at all about your husband.
I gave you his picture. You have all the relevant facts.
Well, you say he was a businessman. Exactly what was his business?
He is an engineer, a consulting engineer.
Yes?
He designed new systems, technologies. I never did understand too much about it, for oil companies.
Was he successful at it?
Yes, he was successful. He didn't like to talk business at home.
You mean he didn't confide in you?
Well, he couldn't, because I wouldn't be able to follow it. We never had to worry about money. We own this house and the two cars. We have stocks and some bonds and other things.
If he should never return...
Don't say that.
Would you be well provided for?
Yes, I would be. But why are you asking me all these questions?
Because the more we know about him, the more leads we can uncover. You say you don't know much about his business. Did he have an office?
Yes, upstairs in the den.
Would you know any of his clients?
There's Jack Toomey. He's president of an oil company. Mr. Purvis, please tell me. Do you think Tom was murdered?
It doesn't do us any good to speculate.
But is it possible?
These days, anyone at all can walk down the streets of any city, anywhere in the world, and suddenly... That's how it is. Tell me, did your husband have enemies?
Tom? Enemies? He was the most easygoing man in the whole world. Everybody was just crazy about him.
Perhaps it might have been one of those random things. A holdup.
No. No. Now, look, we're talking as if Tom is dead. Isn't it possible that he might have amnesia?
Yes, it's possible.
And he could be wandering around the streets of Paris alone, helpless?
He'd have been picked up by now.
Then he's been kidnapped.
You'd have received a note.
Well, maybe it wasn't for money. Maybe it's one of those political things, you know, terrorists.
Then the government would have heard about it.
What are you trying to tell me, Mr. Purvis?
Right now, nothing. Let's just hope for the best.
Morning, Purvis.
I saw your message, Congressman, when I got back home last night. I took the first plane this morning.
I want to talk to you about the Thatcher affair.
Do you mean you had me fly here to Washington just on this Thatcher situation?
You'll notice I said the Thatcher affair.
Yes, but why?
Because that's maybe what it can become. Why should a legitimate American businessman disappear under mysterious circumstances?
I don't know.
Well, would you like to know?
Yes, I suppose.
Do you think the American people would like to know?
Oh, I see. Congressman, I'm not sure there's anything there for us.
Well, neither am I. But there could be. What business was he in?
He was an engineer.
That sounds promising already. What did he engineer mostly?
Well, from what I gather, oil technology.
Oil? Well, don't look now, but we may have a natural. Maybe some international intrigue, espionage, sabotage.
I don't know.
It's an election year. I need an issue.
You've got plenty of issues.
I need an issue that's all mine. Like, what is our government doing about your neighbor, Thomas Thatcher? Has he been murdered? Silenced? What is the real story? Well, how do you like it, Purvis?
I'd like it if...
If what?
If we knew what the story was ourselves. How do we know she's telling the truth?
Why should she lie?
For instance, what if they're trying to pull an insurance fraud?
I've got a hunch on this thing, Purvis. We could be involved with a threat to the security of our country, the very strength of our economy. Get to work on it.
Thus, orders are transmitted. Orders that superiors give to subordinates. Orders throughout history. Orders that have changed the face of the world. We don't actually have anything that cosmic, cataclysmic, or even apocalyptic in store for you. But who is Thomas Thatcher? What happened to him, and why? I shall return shortly with Act Two.
I'm Susan Anton.
It's a good feeling.
Pillowsoft is the ultimate in sleep. Unique extra thick cushioning for heavenly comfort on top. Ultra firm support inside. Perfect sleeper Pillowsoft. Firmness that feels good.
Be a perfect sleeper. Buy a perfect sleeper. Perfect sleeper. Buy Sterling.
Fellow Americans, if you're still shopping here and there and everywhere for shoes, hold it right where you are.
Put your feet together, stop running around. Just step around a kinney and you'll cover the ground. Anywhere you want to go, head your feet in our direction.
Kinney's got it all and more. Wow, what a store. What a great American shoe store.
If you're serious about business, you should be reading the Wall Street Journal. Have a pencil ready so that you can get the journal delivered to your home or office and keep up with the business news that can affect you. The journal recently reported on the disturbing rise of business failures and why a slowdown may be in sight for runaway gas prices. Other Wall Street Journal stories reveal what you need to know if you're considering early withdrawal of time deposits, the plan that enables home buyers to save 25% on their down payment, and the high price that banks could pay for making huge loans to Iran. You would have learned why the prime rate may finally be reaching its peak. The Wall Street Journal. It's all the business news you need when you need it. Right now, you can get 20 weeks of the journal. That's 100 copies for just $26. A real money-saving offer. So in the continental U.S., call this toll-free number now. 800-331-1000. That's 800-331-1000. Except in Oklahoma. You'll be billed later.
Matter, say the physicists, can neither be created nor destroyed. If it didn't exist in some form in the first place, you can never make it. And if it does exist, you can't do away with it. All right. While it's true that you cannot destroy matter, you can make it disappear. We're now talking about a finite quantity of matter named Thomas Thatcher. It seems that Mr. Thatcher is nowhere to be found.
It's very kind of you to take me to lunch, Mr. Purvis. I read that article in the paper about Tom and how the congressman wants an investigation. I should take you to lunch.
Mrs. Thatcher, do you consider me a friend?
Yes, a very good friend. And I'd like you to call me Irene.
I have to say something to you. And when I've said it, we may not be friends any longer. But at least we shall understand each other.
What do you mean? Why won't we be friends?
I said we may not be friends. Mrs. Thatcher, the congressman is going out on a limb for you.
I certainly appreciate that.
I won't, and certainly he won't, if it should turn out that this is a hoax.
Why would I attempt such a thing?
I don't know.
Well, then how can you even suggest...
Mrs. Thatcher, all I know is what you've told me. I really don't know anything about the relationship between you and your husband.
We have friends. You could ask.
Well, other people can only see the outside of a relationship. How do I know that you didn't murder him and bury him under the cellar floor and come up with this story as a cover-up?
I could never have done that.
I believe you.
I took him to the airport. He told me when he was coming back. I waited for him at the airport, and that's all I know.
Once again, I'm not prying, but I need this information. How did the two of you get along?
We were very much in love.
No fights, arguments, quarrels?
No, none at all. He used to say, Irene, are we normal? We never get mad at each other. Mr. Purvis.
George.
Yes. I have this terrible feeling. I know Thomas is dead.
We don't know anything yet.
I've been getting calls from the papers and the radio and TV reporters. They're asking me all kinds of intimate questions.
Well, you knew something like this would happen. It's news. It's a mystery. The media eats it up, and so does the public.
But I'm a very private sort of person.
For your own good, be careful what you tell them.
But I don't know anything. What can I tell them?
Well, you know a great deal. First of all, how can you even be sure he went to Paris?
Because he said so.
Yes.
And I told you I took him to the airport.
Did you see him get on the plane?
Yes.
And did you see the plane take off?
Well, no, I had a dentist appointment and I had to hurry back to town.
Then he could have gotten off the plane.
But why would he do that?
That's what we're trying to find out. I'm not saying he did or he didn't. Was he under any pressures?
I don't know.
Was there anything unusual about his behavior recently?
No, I don't think so.
Did he owe anybody money?
I told you, I don't know anything about his business affairs. I just don't know what to do.
At this moment, there's not much you can do. Except enjoy your lunch.
How can I enjoy my lunch?
You could try.
Thank you, Mr. Purvis.
George.
George. You're very kind.
Thomas Thatcher was a client of yours, Mr. Toomey.
Yes, he was. Also a friend.
A close friend?
A real friend. What did you want to ask me?
What do you make of his disappearance?
Oh, I don't know. I just can't account for it.
People usually disappear for three more or less general reasons. First, a money problem.
No, I don't think so. He's doing very well. He was sitting on top of the world.
Reason number two, women.
Oh, I can't see that either.
You rule out jealous husbands and that sort of thing?
Definitely. What's your third reason?
Enemies. His wife says he didn't have any. Do you agree?
On the whole, yes. However, you never know. You may have enemies and be unaware of them.
But if you do, there's usually a reason.
Well, I don't know if this means anything. He was on the threshold. That's how he put it to me. He said, I'm on the threshold, Jack. I'm trembling on the verge of a revolution.
He used that word, revolution?
Mm-hmm. He was working on a fuel conversion process. I don't know any of the details, but it would have made gasoline almost as plentiful and as cheap as water.
Oh?
In theory, that could make him some very powerful enemies. He'd be stepping on a great many mammoth financial toes. But that's also speculation. Besides, I don't think anybody knew about it except me. And you're the first person I've told it to.
Yeah.
So, if there are three reasons for a man to disappear, none of them seems to take hold here in any practical way.
Well, maybe there's a fourth reason. Fate.
Fate? What does fate have to do with it?
I don't know. That's why it's called fate. It, or she, or whatever, operates in some mysterious manner of its own, and we never know the reason why. He never said anything at all about an invention or a discovery, Irene?
No, George. Not to me, anyhow.
You say he used this room as his office?
Yes.
He had no other place of business?
No. Not that I know of.
Why are there so few papers here? Where did he keep his records?
I suppose he kept a lot of them in his head. He had a fantastic memory. I think he was one of those people with total recall.
Irene, I think we know each other well enough for me to ask you this question. You say you know very little about his work.
Yes.
What does that mean?
It means exactly that. I know very little about his work.
Why? You're a bright woman, intelligent. Am I to assume you cared very little about his work? Or that you were uninterested?
It was very complicated.
Well, I understand, but obviously it was his whole life.
I tried in the beginning, but for me to appreciate what he was doing, I would have had to be a geologist, an engineer. It just was another language to me. I simply couldn't learn it.
Then the two of you really had nothing in common.
Well, don't say that. Very few women are aware of the real nature of their husbands' jobs. As a matter of fact, despite what you hear, most men and women prefer it that way. Man comes home from a hard day. He wants to put it behind him. Doesn't want to relive it with his wife.
Well, I think I would want to.
You have an interesting job.
It has its problems.
Tell me about them.
I wouldn't know where to begin.
Begin at the beginning.
Purvis. Who? The Secret Service. Finally, a little action. Send him in. Come in, Mr. Dakins.
That's right.
What can I do for you?
You can level with me. Is the congressman trying to get reelected?
Sure. Is that a crime?
What's he building here with this Thatcher situation?
It's absolutely legitimate. A constituent comes in for help. We do precisely the correct thing. We go through channels to the proper government agencies to investigate. It's only after they prove ineffective that we try to do what we can.
I'm sure.
We have absolutely no ulterior motives.
What's the other side doing about this?
The other side? What are you talking about? Foreign agents?
I'm talking about domestic agents. I'm talking about my competition. The CIB, the FBI.
Oh.
You haven't given this to either of them yet, have you?
Well, nobody else has come in here to ask.
Oh, they'll be here. Each of them will promise you the moon, but you work with us. We're the oldest and the most solid of all services. We work in a quiet way, but we get the job done. That's the bottom line, isn't it?
Yes, I guess it is.
Good. Thatcher belongs to us.
I'll have to check it out with the congressman.
Sure. We'll find Thatcher. We have ways.
I understand this fellow Dakins was in to see us.
Yes, Congressman. He wanted an exclusive.
Did you make a deal?
I don't think we should until we hear what the others have to offer.
Well, we'll string them all along. Have all three working for us.
Yes, sir.
We're at a critical stage, Purvis. We need a shot in the arm. Okay, he's missing. The whole world is speculating. But we have to have a good, solid rumor to the motive.
We've got it.
Are you sure?
An international conspiracy.
I like it already. What kind?
Oil. He had made a discovery recently.
He had?
You know how you get water by turning the tap in your faucet?
Well?
You could get oil or gas or whatever in just about the same way. That's what he was supposed to have been working on just before he disappeared.
Let me sit down.
How does it sound?
Maybe I won't have to run for Congress again after this term.
You mean you'd give up all your seniority to try for the Senate?
The Senate? Do you know what we're planting here, Purvis? Why, it's the kind of tree that makes a man presidential timber.
Great oaks from little acorns grow, huh? And when you stop to think of it, many a man became president by writing a single issue right up to the White House door. But our friend the congressman and his assistant still have to jump the hurdle of the third act.
We're at your service star hardware store. We give you service and selection and a whole lot more.
Hey, George Goble here. You know, if you're a do-it-yourselfer, you ought to see the folks at Service Star Hardware, Lumber, and Home Centers. They got everything you need. And there's nothing they like better than helping you get the job done yourself. Now, that's service. Service Star, serving the East, South, and Midwest.
Service Star, that's where service starts.
Screeching tires, a fatal crash, flames and burning flesh. Lindsay Dolben, newlywed, is suddenly Lindsay Dolben, the widow of ratchets. Your husband's family will comfort you, Lindsay. Comfort you with ancient rites, human sacrifice, fear, and murder. You are alone at the center of a demonic power struggle with a throne of darkness up for grabs. The Widow of Ratchets, terrifying fiction as original as sin itself. The Widow of Ratchets, an Ace paperback.
This is Gary Danielson, quarterback with the Detroit Lions, and I have a message from the National Easter Seal Sports Council. We're a group of athletes who have teamed up to help the Easter Seal Society in its work with people who have disabilities. Like other members of the Sports Council, I'm an Easter Seal volunteer in my community. I spend time with handicapped kids, and I've talked with their parents. So I know firsthand how important Easter Seal services are in helping disabled people get back into the mainstream of life. When you visit an Easter Seal center, you'll see people of all ages, some born with handicaps, some injured in accidents, and others disabled by illness. Regardless of the cause, they are getting the kind of rehabilitation service they need to help them achieve independent lifestyles. That's why I'm with Easter Seals all the way. If you'd like to be involved in this important program, get in touch with your local Easter Seal Society. We'll welcome your support. Easter Seals. A great way to help handicapped people.
It is said, is the cry of all, but the game of only a few. Perhaps that is because truth is so fragile and elusive. Truth wears so many faces, it speaks with so many voices. And perhaps there is not one single great truth, but an infinite variety of smaller ones.
Where are you taking me, George?
I'd like you to stay with my aunt.
Why?
It might be dangerous for you to remain at home.
Dangerous?
Well, the situation has developed a life of its own. We really don't know who or what may be involved. Besides, it acts as a magnet for a host of freelance nuts.
Oh.
No, I said danger. It isn't really as dangerous as annoying. You'll be better off in, let's say, seclusion for a while.
Tell me about your aunt.
She'll talk your ears off, but you'll enjoy it. She raised me. My parents sort of disappeared.
Disappeared? How?
Well, nothing very mysterious. My father lost his job and he just up and left. That's the last I ever saw of him. My mother became interested in some other man and she deposited me with Aunt Louise. And that's the last I ever saw of her.
Aunt Louise. I like the name.
You'll be all right.
George, how long do you think I should stay?
Well, just till some of the heat dies down.
I was thinking, what if Tom were to return suddenly? He'd come home. I wouldn't be there. He wouldn't know where to find me.
Irene, do you think Tom is ever coming back?
No. I don't think so.
Why?
I don't know. Something told me as I stood there at the gate and watched the passengers come out. After the last one had stepped off and they closed the gate, I just knew somehow that I would never see Tom again.
Hello, Mr. Toomey. Won't you sit down?
Thank you.
Is it about Tom Thatcher?
Yes. Like everyone else, I can only speculate. I came here to discuss something. I don't even know what it means. Probably means nothing.
Well, not if it's bothering you.
It's something you said about fate.
Fate?
If we were discussing the three logical reasons why a man would disappear, when none of them would seem to apply, you said... How did you put it now? You said maybe there's a fourth reason. Fate.
Yes, fate.
And it wasn't until after you left my office that it occurred to me.
Yes, Mr. Toomey?
Now, you and I are practical men, Mr. Purvis. We don't really believe in fate.
Well, I'm not so sure.
We use the word conversationally, fate. But we'd like to think we're concerned with so-called practical things.
Are you saying that fate, then, is responsible for Mr. Thatcher's disappearance?
It would seem to me that fate can be definitely ruled out.
Why?
Because fate had the opportunity to get rid of Tom Thatcher and turned it down.
I don't understand.
Tom Thatcher was in a position to be carried off, killed by, let us say, fate. And he survived it. Let me tell you how it happened. I own a couple of 100 acres upstate. I've got a little hunting lodge. But we don't hunt. We just go up there to enjoy the woods, the outdoors. A little while before Tom left for Paris, he and I drove up there one morning. Tom loved to be out in the wilderness. He said it helped him to think better. And suddenly we heard a rustle in the bushes and this big, beautiful deer broke cover and bounded past us. Then we heard shots. And Tom said...
Hey, I thought you posted this place.
I did, Tom. That must be a poacher. Tom. Tom, are you all right? Hey, look, it's bleeding just above your temple.
That one stung me.
Are you all right?
Well, it just grazed me, I guess. Like someone just drew a hot poker quickly across my head.
Well, let's get back to the house. I'll get the sheriff.
Look, right here in this tree. That's where the bullet went. See? Right here. If I were standing just a fraction of an inch to the left, I'd be dead now. That's all I needed, a fraction of an inch.
It was a narrow escape, Tom. Let's go in and put some antiseptic on that.
I wonder what it means, Jack. What? Why did he miss me?
Whoever he happens to be, I'm sure he wasn't aiming at you.
You see, Jack, you get a concentration of circumstances.
A what?
A coming together. Of me deciding to come up here with you today, of the poacher deciding to come to these woods, of the deer deciding to break cover, the poacher fires, the bullet misses.
All right, Tom.
It misses by the absolute limit of error. Anything closer and I'm dead. How do you account for it?
Let's say it's fate.
I know that.
But why did you ask?
Because I don't know what fate had in mind.
Mind?
What I don't know and somehow have to figure out, did fate intend that poacher to miss me or to hit me?
Tom, why don't you simply forget the whole thing?
Well, what does it mean, Jack? What does it mean?
It wasn't much of a wound, Mr. Purvis, but I've never seen a man so badly shaken up in my life. Tom kept saying over and over, what does it mean?
What happened afterwards?
Well, I drove him back to the city and dropped him off the house.
And?
And that's all. The next day he left for Paris. I haven't seen him again. I don't know if I've contributed anything, but you're the one who brought up this whole business about fate.
Irene, about a week before he left for Paris, your husband had gone up to the country with Jack Toomey. Do you remember how he was feeling just before he went?
He was in very good spirits, just the idea of going up to the woods.
How was he when he came home that evening?
He was depressed. I think he'd hurt himself.
Yes?
He had a piece of adhesive along his temple. I asked him what had happened. He wouldn't tell me. And he was mumbling something, the same words over and over.
Could you make them out?
Well, he was saying...
Wait. Let me tell you. What does it mean? What does it mean?
Yes. Yes, how did you know?
George, we got the notes from my TV appearance. And some results from their environmental study. Some facts about energy.
Congressman, you're going to be interviewed about the celebrated Thatcher affair.
Sure, but I've got to be knowledgeable about everything. Oh, I need some inflation statistics also.
Okay.
What's the matter, Purvis? You're wearing a long face lately. It's out of keeping with the spirit around here. We're all upbeat.
Well, I'd like to be upbeat myself.
Well, you should be. There's talk about my getting into some of the primaries.
I know. I started it.
Look, Purvis, you're just about the best man I've got. I need you. Now, what's wrong?
I really don't know. I just have this uneasy feeling.
About what?
About this whole Thatcher affair.
Why?
I wish I knew. It's something which won't stop bothering me.
Ah, stop worrying. Get home and get yourself a good night's sleep.
Oh. Hello?
Listen, do you want to know what happened to Thomas Thatcher?
Well, who is this?
Get on the interstate. And just past exit 12, there's a rest area.
Just a minute.
Pull in there. I'll be parked near the first picnic table.
Who am I talking to?
Be there in 20 minutes.
Mr. Purvis?
Who are...
Wait a minute.
Yes?
You're Tom Thatcher.
That's right.
What are you doing here? Why weren't you on that plane? Were you ever in Paris? Is someone after you?
That's a whole string of questions. I want you to discontinue this whole business.
What whole business?
This investigation. This publicity.
Well, look, once you start a ball rolling...
You can stop it.
Wait, even if we could, why should we? What are you running away from?
I'm not running away from anything. I'm running towards something.
What?
I don't know yet. It'll be revealed to me in time. You think I'm crazy?
No, I just...
It's all right. If I heard someone else speak to me like that, I'd, as recently as a month ago, I'd think he was crazy.
What are you after?
Once again, I don't know what I'm after. I only know... what I'm not after.
I don't understand a word you're saying.
My name is Thomas Thatcher. I'm a genius. But I've spent my life really doing nothing with my ability.
But you're considered successful.
What does that mean? I devoted my time and effort to adding to people's comforts.
Well, that's bad?
It made rich, comfortable people even richer and more comfortable.
Is that wrong?
It's not right. One day I was walking through the woods with my friend. A bullet from a poacher's gun grazed my head.
Yes, I know about that.
How easily it could all have ended He wasn't aiming at me. But what made him sight just faintly to the right? Did he blink as he fired, or did he flinch? Was the cartridge faulty? An infinite number of things. Do you agree?
All right, I agree.
I could have been dead. Suppose I had been dead. What would have happened?
You would have been buried.
But suppose it was meant as a sign, as a warning.
Yes.
The message, if any, was for me. The warning, if any, was for me. The lesson was for me. And the decision is mine alone.
And what's that decision?
Isn't it obvious? I'm dead. Tom Thatcher is dead. I want to start over. Begin again.
You want to walk out on your wife?
I've left her very well provided for. We're in love now because we thought we were in love earlier. There's nothing fresh, nothing new. After the shock wore off about my disappearance, she realized she didn't really love me. She's more attracted to you.
Look, I wasn't trying to...
It doesn't matter. I want her to be happy.
If all you want to do is disappear, why did you reveal yourself to me now?
Because I want you to end this whole affair.
I can't. The congressman smells blood.
If this thing is kept at fever pitch, I run the risk of discovery. And I won't be a free agent. I want to live in my own way.
But how can we stop it?
Stop feeding it. After a while, it'll all die down.
But the congressman...
He's already gotten enough mileage out of it. Convince him to be a statesman.
You don't know him.
Just tell him if he doesn't cut it out, I'll make an appearance. Say I was suffering from amnesia and he'll look like a fool.
Ah, now that's the kind of language he can understand.
I'll make sure. Because if I'm discovered, Irene will feel duty-bound to stay with me. And where will that leave you? So goodbye, Mr. Purvis.
Where are you going?
I couldn't give you the answer. I'm going where fate is taking me. That is, if there is such a thing as fate.
Is there? We just don't know. We say about certain things, it has to be, but who decides and why? So often, so many people simply disappear, and no one ever knows or can ever find out why. Is it fate? I shall disappear too, but only for a short while.
And this mattress is called the what?
The King Coil Posture Bond. You can't buy any better in our store.
Well, it's very comfortable.
Oh, yes, and you'll get firmness and durability year after year.
Oh, gee, I wish my husband were here to try it out with me.
That's the best way.
Oh, mm-hmm. See, that man over there, he's about the same size and weight as my husband.
Excuse me, sir?
Yes?
Could you lie down on this King Coil Posture Bond mattress for a moment?
Well, I'm just waiting for my wife
here. Oh, it'll just take a sec.
She's buying a throw pillow for our breezeway.
There you go.
Now, let me get on the other side.
Ooh, this Posture Bond is very comfortable.
It's the unique construction of the King Coil Posture Bond.
See, could you throw your arm over me? That's what Walter does.
Like this?
Exactly. Now, could you put your foot in the small of my back?
Okay.
And the pillow over your head.
All right.
No matter how you scrunch up, this King Coil Posture Bond is still firm and comfortable.
Yeah, golly. You know what Shirley and I do? We sometimes... Hi, Shirley. I was just lying in bed here telling this lady how we... Since this is a King Coil, she needed my foot to... Help.
Try a King Coil Posture Bond. Its unique bonded construction assures comfort and durability year after year.
Right now, Avon's got an exciting new game. We call it Open Up to Avon.
Open up to Avon. Open up to looking good.
A new game.
Open up to feeling like you should.
The fun begins with your Open Up to Avon game card.
Open up to Avon. Bring in beauty.
Card is your ticket to savings on exciting beauty products and maybe even a free gift.
Open up to Avon, open up to looking good.
Your representative is bringing your Open Up game card. yard. So get in and all the fun.
Open up to feeling like you should.
What a nice surprise, Avon.
It's your way of looking good. One-to-one feeling like you should.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited.
Those people who suddenly turn away from the tasks they've been devoted to all their lives. Without warning or even reason, suddenly they are gone. If not physically, then they become someone so completely new and different that in a very real sense, it can be said that they are born again. Our cast included John Lithgow, Terry Keane, Court Benson, and Arnold Moss. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
CBS News. Two top aides to Mayor Byrne of Chicago have quit following charges from police officials that the Byrne administration has connections with organized crime. This is John Bohannon reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Mayor Byrne's chief of staff, William Griffin, and a key advisor, Michael Brady, resigned tonight. They say they no longer have trust and confidence in the mayor. It's been alleged that Brady and Griffin had tried to interfere in police affairs. Mayor Byrne has said she's clean as a whistle, despite charges by high-ranking police officials, that she's allowed Chicago crime leaders to dictate policy in the police department. The latest on the hostages in Iran when CBS News continues. In Pueblo, Colorado, the parents of one of the American hostages in Iran say they would like to visit their son. He's Corporal William Gallegos, a guard at the U.S. Embassy. Barbara Tim of Wisconsin spent about 45 minutes today with her son, Marine Sergeant Kevin Hermaning. President Carter says he's discouraging other attempts by family members to visit the hostages because, he says, it could do more harm than good. The State Department said today the administration has decided against exempting hostage families from the ban on travel to Iran. The only exception are journalists. The House Rules Committee has approved President Carter's request to resume registration for the draft. It cleared the committee by a voice vote, and the next step is debate on the House floor. Costa Rica says the Castro government will respond Wednesday to a request to resume the evacuation of thousands of Cubans. 10,000 Cubans are still crowded in the Peruvian embassy compound waiting to be flown to new homes. The Castro government ordered a halt to the flights last Friday. A military tribunal in Liberia is considering possible death sentences for some former members of the Tolbert government, and the country's new leader, Army Sergeant Samuel Doe, has ordered looters shot to death. More from Mike Lee.
One thing the Liberian coup has done is to make the Army privates, corporals, and sergeants feel a lot more important. Even though the head of state, Master Sergeant Doe, has told Liberians that Army officers are still to be respected according to their rank, you don't see a lot of lieutenants, captains, majors, or colonels out on the streets here. The non-coms who controlled the streets had been doing a certain amount of looting until Master Sergeant Doe himself staged a televised execution of looters as an example to the nation.
You are hereby ordered to execute the four men on the street. Boom!
Looting has stopped, but the Army remains on the street, mainly checking for possible members of the former Tablet regime. Mike Lee, CBS News, Monrovia.
A first-class stamp may cost 20 cents early next year. Deputy Postmaster General James Conway says it's because of inflation.
Our last fiscal year 1979, we had an operating surplus of about $470 million. However, we're the victims of inflation like everybody else, and our costs are going up. And the proposed increase today, which will not take effect until 1981, is purely and simply the result of inflation.
The Independent Postal Rate Commission has 10 months to decide whether an increase should take effect. CBS News continues after this. Few people collect trivia with the enthusiasm of Art Snyder of Yellow Springs, Ohio. He has a monthly radio show which features trivia and related minutia. Snyder says he knows when Yul Brynner first shaved his head and what brand of motor oil the Wright brothers used. And he says if you have acritia butterophobia, you have a fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth. He's a good man to have around during a lull in the conversation. John Bohannon, CBS News.